We're going to have a look this morning at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20 through 28. So only a few verses, but it's titled A Mother's Request. A Mother's Request. Our house is usually filled with a mother's request. Can you tidy up is the most common one. Anybody else? Please can you tidy your bedroom, Alistair. Please can you tidy your bedrooms. Please, for me, please can you take the rubbish to the bin. Is that, no? I've told her this morning she's not my mother. But that is the usual sort of consensus that's happening in the house. Mums are the ones that are organising, that are making sure that everything's in place. And if it's anything like our house, I just need to turn up. Yeah? I just need to be there and that'll be fine. As long as I've filled out the form to say that I'm okay to be there. No, I'm joking. But Mother's Day is indeed a really nice day. It's a day set aside to thank all of those ladies, those mums, those people in our life who have done and do so much for us on a day-to-day basis. They deserve to be spoiled, do they not?
Amen.
Yeah, well done, Joel. Brownie points over there. They do indeed deserve to be spoiled. We're going to have a look this morning at a mother in the Bible. She is a proud mum of two boys. And as any mother does, she wants to champion her pride and joy. That's what mums do best, isn't it? If you need a compliment or you need a pick-me-up, you go and ask mum. And she says, you look lovely, darling. Ignore what your brother says. That was just our house. I mean, yours may be different. So we'll find the account in two of the Gospels this morning, in Matthew and Mark. But we're going to focus on Matthew because we get a clearer picture of what's going on. So let's read the verses together and then I will pray and then we'll see what the Lord's got to say to us. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favour of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in the kingdom. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from the cup, but sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. Father, we thank you that we can read it together and we can share it together. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you might just bless the reading of your word to us. But Father God, that you might open up our hearts and our minds ready to receive what you've got to say to us. Lord, that you might speak through me. Father, that we might hear something of your wonder and your beauty this morning, perhaps, Lord, that we haven't even thought on. And we ask all of these things in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the text this morning begins immediately with today's proud mum in question. She's James and John's mum, the wife of Zebedee. And these two boys are called the Sons of Thunder. You'll see that in Mark chapter 3 and verse 17. And they're called that by Jesus himself. Now, how do you get the nickname Sons of Thunder? The reality is that they must have been a little bit out there, yeah? They're just on the edge of doing things. They're right, but you're close. You know, the whole borderline? That was you lot, not me. Just really close to toeing the line. So Jesus gives them the name Sons of Thunder. We don't get to know why they gained this nickname, but it's quite an impressive one in one sense. And then in another sense, you think, ooh. But what I love about this account is the fact that they brought their mum with them. If we just paint the picture a little bit, these are not children, okay? These are two grown adults who run a fishing business with their dad. They maybe have one boat, two boats, 10 boats, we don't know. And they are, you know, grown men. Yet, they know that they want to ask Jesus something, and the best way to do it is through mum. You never grow up, do you? You never grow up. They knew that if we go with mum, then there's every chance that she might just be able to just, as she puts it, just ask Jesus a favour. Just ask him a favour and see what he says. You remember as well that James indeed followed John the Baptist around for a short time. And of course, he would know the ins and outs perhaps more than most, as John had been teaching him and telling him about this Messiah. And then he walked and talked with the Lord for a long period of time. Yet they come to Jesus with their mum to ask a pretty wild question or a pretty wild request. And what a request it is that we see in verse 21. Jesus says, "What is it that you want?" She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other at your left in the kingdom." Now that is a question, eh? That is a request. But you've got to really think about the scenario that would happen to get their mum to this point. You know, James and John are going home at night, having walked and talked with Jesus, having shared what's happened in the day. Remember, they'll have shared with their mum that Jesus called us down by the water. He wanted us to follow him. And we just told Dad, "What do you think?" And he said, "Get on with it. This is the Messiah, is it not? If you believe that's who he says he is, then follow him." And they left everything and they followed Jesus. And of course, they'd be going home at night and saying how amazing all the things that have been going off. And as it happens, Mum, we're actually in his inner circle, if you like. You know, there's all these other disciples, but there's like, there's Peter, and then there's me and John. Or there's Peter and there's me and James. We're in the inner circle. And she'd be like, would she not be so proud? She'd be so proud. She'd be ecstatic. She'd be like, "This is incredible. The two boys, we've raised them, we've shown them, they've listened, and the Messiah has called them." And naturally then, she wants to champion them. Why? Well, because she loves them. And it feels to me as if James and John have really played on their time with Jesus. Kev and I were really quite good at this growing up as well. Usually Kev was the one that was better than me, not at the thing, but telling mum that he was. You know what I mean? It's because he's older. Just in case you didn't know, it's about 5 years. Anyway, and what happens is they sort of just pile it on with mum. Just let her know how good they are and how much they're in this circle and how much they're having an influence, and they're starting to lead and they're starting to take control of things. And then Jesus sort of says to them in verse 22, he says, "You don't know what you're asking." And really, we could put a full stop there, but Jesus is good enough to show them this next part, and we'll go to mum's reaction. It's not recorded for us, but I can hazard a guess, okay? So they say, Jesus says to them, "You don't know what you're asking." And then Jesus said, "You can drink the cup. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" And they go, "We can," they answered. Now, they've spoken, the mum has asked Jesus, and Jesus has responded to the boys, and the boys have now responded to Jesus and gone, "Yes, we can." And this is really where it gets really quite serious for them. Because Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup. But to sit on my right and my left, well, that's not my choice to make. That's already been set in motion." It's a request that would have just so many implications for them now moving forward. Not because anything was going to change about the position or the way that the Lord was going to take them, but Jesus gives clarity on the situation. And I'm sure instantly then, what would Mum's reaction be? She would have gone, what cup? What cup's it? What's he on about? You've told me about an inner circle. And now all of a sudden you've got to drink from a cup. That sounds metaphorical to me. Just naturally, because that's what mums are going to do. We're going to go, what on earth have you got me into here? What have you just got me to ask? And the lads have realised what's going off, but I don't think they've realised to the full extent. And what I find wonderful about this text is not just that Jesus had to explain his upside down kingdom, which he goes on to do through 24 through 28, that in actual fact, that to lead and to love isn't done by lording it over people, but to lead and to love is to serve. Isn't that exactly what a mum does? To lead and to love in her household with her children, with those that she's responsible for or can have an impact on in their life, she leads with love and with care and with a servant heart. And Jesus says that that's the kingdom. Jesus says that the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. And that part of the text is stunning. And don't think that we haven't seen it this morning. That is, in one sense, we see an idea of first century living because Mum is proud and she's everything that you'd hope a mum would be. And it's exactly the same today in 2024. A proud mum, full of love, ready to champion her children. And we love our mums for this today. But also, she was reassurance to her two boys. That just by being there, she gave them reassurance. They were empowered to go straight to Jesus with a very wild request, rightly or wrongly. But it gave Jesus this wonderful teachable moment that we've seen. That I'm to serve, not to be served. That I'm to put others first. That I'm to love. That I'm to be compassionate and full of grace. This is what Jesus is explaining now in those moments, those few verses. But it made me think about our situation, church. Those of us that would call ourselves Christians, believers, that have accepted Christ as our own personal saviour. Now, how James and John, they gained their boldness because Mum was with them. Just her presence was enough. How often do we spend time reminding ourselves of his presence with us? How often are we going into situations and just taking a moment to say, Lord, I know that you're with me. Your word tells me that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Your word tells me that I've received the Holy Spirit and I'm going to need that help right now to step into this moment. I'm going to need that boldness, that reassurance that comes from knowing that I have your presence right here with me. And I'm going to be able to step into this meeting. I'm going to be able to step into this conflict. I'm going to be able to step into this new situation that I've not been in before. I'm going to be able to step into the doctor's surgery, into the hospital theatre. I'm going to step into it, God, knowing that you are right here with me. Because you've promised you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to take you into this moment, Lord, because I've received your Holy Spirit and I know you're right here with me. And if I need comfort, if I need empowerment, if I need to be bold, if I need to step more than I thought I was ever going to have to, I know that you're with me. Church, we have such a blessing when we think and we reflect on all that God has given to us. We see it here in a mother's love, but how much more with the creator of heaven and earth, amen? how much more with a God who knit us together in our mother's womb when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? How much more can I step into that situation knowing that God is with me, knowing that he's right by my side? Church, how we should be so grateful, how we should feel so blessed, knowing that God is on our side, knowing that the Holy Spirit is within us. Church, I feel like we should be completely and utterly empowered. We should be emboldened. We should be ready to step, reassured by his presence and ready to serve. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again this morning for your word. Father, for the teachable moments that you've given to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would just share in that moment the importance of leading by loving and serving. Father, we just thank you indeed for all those ladies in our life that have looked after us, that continue to look after us, that continue to bless us with their servant heart. And Lord, we thank you ultimately for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're here this morning because our Saviour lives. We're here this morning because he has defeated sin and death. And we just want to lift high his name. We want to worship him this morning. And Father God, we thank you that you first loved us. Bless us, we pray, as we continue in our worship together. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.